11, and we'll read from verse number 1, please. Genesis chapter 11, we want to read from verse number 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. The Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. They left off to build the city, therefore the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And we do trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this evening. I want to talk on the subject tonight of coronavirus. Obviously, it's in the news. It's not something we can escape, no matter how we try to get away from it. It's always there. It has affected not only other countries, but of course, it's very much affecting the United Kingdom as well this evening. As we said this morning, described by our Prime Minister as the greatest health challenge for a generation. And really, governments aren't sure what to do, and even the World Health Organization, we just really at these times, humanly speaking, many do not know where to turn. It's believed this virus began in China, in Wuhan, some related to bats, and some people are eating bats, and I've been told, I don't know these things, I'm no expert, that some of the bats carry the most viruses in the world. I think the animal that comes closest to them is a female rat. But bats, I'm told, carry some of the most deadly viruses in the world, and it's believed that that's where it all began in China, sometime in December. But of course, it has moved rapidly since then. It has moved right indeed throughout the world. And of course, now we have countries on lockdown. We have sporting events cancelled. We have economic markets in free fall. We have the threat of our schools probably going to be closed in the very near future. We're talking now about anyone over the age of 70. As I said this morning, that doesn't affect anyone here. All the people here are so young and so fresh. But we're talking about older people have been isolated, been asked to remain in their homes, and we don't know how they're going to enforce that. But certainly it seems to be terrible and risky days ahead. According to the figures this afternoon, we've now reached 150,000 confirmed cases throughout the world. Again, this is an ever-changing figure. The deaths most recently given to me were 5,774. 1,140 have tested positive in the United Kingdom with 21 deaths. 129 in the Irish Republic with 2 deaths, and we've had 45 positive cases in Northern Ireland, and thankfully we've had no deaths yet. And of course, this is not something I have to say to you this evening. We're all aware of this virus, we're all aware of the spread of it, and I just sat down the other day and I started to think, what has the Lord got to say to us? We believe the Lord's speaking, and surely God's speaking in these days. What has God got to say to us tonight? And there's just 3 simple things that came to mind, and we'll turn to some of the scriptures in a moment. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 11, and the first thing I could think about was globalization. The second thing was devastation, and the third thing was preparation. And that's my 3 simple headings for this evening. Not a simple subject, but simple headings. First of all, I want to think about globalization. You see, this, as I say, began in China sometime in mid-December, perhaps the beginning of December, but it was the 7th of March where it really brought it home to me. In the Belfast Telegraph, I was reading a headline, and it just mentioned that this virus had reached County Tyrone. And it had came inside a footballer who was playing for a team from Portadown, and he was playing at Coke United. When I say Coke, my ears always point up. And I was just thinking about this virus had travelled from China to Coke. That's a distance of over 5,000 miles. 5,000 miles. It reminded me about how small the world has become. Sometimes people talk about a global village. And of course, we've got global problems. We've got global warming they talk about, global terrorism. And of course, tonight we're thinking of a global virus. The world is becoming a smaller place. I believe the fact that the world is becoming a smaller place, it's God saying to us that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And let me explain that this evening. If you turn back into Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, I'm not going into this to any great depth this evening. I've spoken on globalization here in the church before. But if you look at Genesis 9, verse 1, when Noah and his three sons and their wives come out of the ark, God gave them definite instructions. And those instructions are found in Genesis 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. There was to be procreation and there was to be population. They were to move throughout the world. They were to populate the world. That was God's plan for mankind. Now when we come over to Genesis chapter 11, we see man had a different plan and a different idea. Look at Genesis 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And that's, of course, what you would expect. They all come out of the ark. They all spoke the same language. And so they were all the same language, and they were all of the same speech. Verse 2. It came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Shinar is in modern Iraq. It's what the Bible sometimes calls Babylon. Verse 3. And they said one to another, go to now, let us make brick. You see the word us there? It means for ourselves. Mankind has decided to do something for themselves. Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. Now, what are they planning? What is man trying to do? Verse number 4. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. They wanted to build a city, that would speak of commerce. They wanted to build a tower, that would speak of their religion. And so they wanted to have a religion and they wanted to have commerce. It's interesting when it talks about whose top would reach heaven, it just simply says in the original, whose top heaven. Instead of worshipping the God of heaven, they began to worship the heavens. And many people believe, connected with the Tower of Babel and what went on in Babylon, that's where you find the signs of the zodiac. And when people are reading their stars, they're delving into something that truly is not of the Lord and not edifying. But you can see they're building this tower. They want to stay together. Look at the end of verse number 4. Here is the aim. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Do you remember what the Lord said? They were to replenish the earth. And so mankind is defying God. Not for the first time. And not for the last time. We have a world that defies God. And they said, we're not going to scatter throughout the whole earth. Now what did God do in verse number 6? And the Lord said, behold, the people is one and they have one language. And this begin they to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. And you can see when God is speaking about them, and God says they're going to speak unitedly in defiance of God. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Evil will know no bounds. Man will do that which is right in his own eyes. Think about the world tonight. Think about all the world governments. How many in 2020 would enforce biblical and godly standards? How many have gone in the opposite direction? And the pressure is there for this one world to be anti-God and, of course, against Christ as well. Look at verse 7. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language. Now God's speaking. Notice God uses us here. It's a plurality. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. God steps in. Mankind shook their fist in the face of God. God says, I want you to scatter abroad the earth. I want you to replenish the earth. Man lifted his fist in the face of God and said, we're not going. We're going to stay here. We're going to stay together. We're going to do what we want to do. And we're going to ignore what God wants us to do. And they wanted the world to be a very small place. And this is man's first attempt at globalization, but God stepped in. And many of God's people are wondering, when is God going to step in? I wonder, is God stepping in? I wonder, has God stepped in recent days in order that the world might take note? And God scattered them above, around the world, and of course they populated different countries and they had different languages. Verse number 9, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them upon the face of all the earth. As I said, this was man's attempt at globalization, man's attempt at making the world a smaller place. Now come over to Revelation chapter 13. Because there's a day coming in the future. I believe Jesus Christ is coming and the church will go. I believe we're going to have 7 years of tribulation. We could really say 7 years of hell upon earth. During that time, there's a despicable character will come to the scene. We know him in Scripture as Antichrist, sometimes called the beast, sometimes called the lawless one, sometimes called the man of sin. This Antichrist, he will rule the world politically, militarily, commercially, and religiously. And in order for that to happen, he needs the world to be a smaller place. Now, I know the world's not getting smaller geographically, but you know what I mean this evening. If a virus can move from China to Coke, the world's a small place. It wasn't airborne, it moved with people, and brought from person to person, and eventually ends up in County Tyrone. Probably tonight it's in County Down somewhere as well. We don't really know what's going on or where these positive cases are being found. But look at Revelation 13 verses 4 and 5. I haven't time to dig into all this evening, but I just want to show you tonight what's happening. You see, when the World Health Organization were speaking about this virus, and it seemed that certain countries were doing their own thing, they said this was a global problem that needed a global solution. Because we need to have one world. And we need to have a small world. Look what happens in Revelation 13, verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon. The dragon is the devil. This is the world we're talking about. Which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast. Now the beast is Antichrist. And so there's a man going to come upon the scene that the world are going to worship. And it's the world that will worship him. Now look at verse number 3. And I saw one of his heads, Revelation 13, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed. And look what it says, all the world wondered after the beast. Now look down to verse number 8. And all they that dwell upon the earth, notice it's the world, notice it's the earth. This is the whole world. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation or from the foundation of the world. Do you see? Worldwide worship of Antichrist. Now, in order for that to happen, we need the world to be a smaller place. I'm telling you tonight that the world is getting ready for Antichrist. The world's getting ready for Antichrist. Look at verse 16 and 17 again in Revelation 13. Because this ties in with some of the things that are happening in recent days. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. This is the mark of the beast. That no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You see, Antichrist will rule the world religiously. The whole earth is going to worship him. But he's going to rule the world economically. You cannot buy or sell unless he says you can do so. Now think about what was happening in a very many way in recent days. Supermarkets have been telling you what you can buy and what you can't buy. And certain products have had to be limited. Now, I know that's a mini scale and a very insignificant thing in the light of a worldwide problem. But I'm just showing you, isn't the world ripe for someone to step in and say, I can sort the problem out. What would they not give? Richard Branson is looking $7.8 billion for the aircraft industry and for air travel to try and save them all from going under. And that's just one sector of one industry. Think of what is going on throughout the world. And if a man was to come with the solution tonight, listen, they would give him whatever he wants, including their souls. They'll worship him. I believe the ground is being prepared. I'm not saying tonight what we're saying is a fulfillment of prophecy, but what I'm saying to you tonight is you can see how this would be possible. And you can see how circumstances would come around that the world would take with two hands. If someone was to come tonight and offer a solution to this problem, listen, the world would grab them with both hands. The Premier League would be united. And delighted. The sporting world would be delighted. The economic world would be delighted. Most of the religious world would be delighted, for they know no better. The political world would be delighted. And you would have this one world domination by this one man. And you can see the global domination. Just when you're in Revelation, go over to chapter 17. Look at 17 verse 1. Now, just to give you a bit of the background, this is about Babylon. Remember I mentioned Babylon? Well, Revelation 17 is religious Babylon. And when you read through it, you read about a harlot, and her name was Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. Many people connect that to the Church of Rome. And would see the Church of Rome is the mother of harlots, and she has many children. And it's, if you like, it's the one world church that Antichrist will be in control of. Look at Revelation 17 verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. I just want you to get the phrase, the many waters. I've explained this great whore, and I don't want to go into that tonight. But look down to verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongue. You can see the whole world. An Antichrist is controlling the whole world. The world will be a smaller place. Globalization will be what man tried at Babel. Antichrist will have in Babel, in Babylon, in a day yet to come. If you look at Revelation 18 verse 13, it again concerns Babylon. This time it's commercial Babylon and not religious Babylon. Look at verse number 3. Again, I just want you to see how worldwide this is. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And look, it's the kings of the earth, it's all nations. They've committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth, that's the great businesses of the earth, are waxed through the abundance of her delicacies. And of course, Babylon will rule the world economically and politically and religiously, and Antichrist is at the helm. And you see, as I thought about this virus and how quickly it has spread and how it has become so worldwide. And I remember sitting watching the BBC one night and this map up, and there was a little red bit here and then another red bit there, and soon the red bits were all over the world. And I just was thinking how small the world has become. You know, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 12, this is what he said, tucked away in this grand old prophet's book. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. And this is what Daniel said, or what God said to Daniel. Many shall run to and fro. And Daniel told us thousands of years ago that in the end times, that travel would become easier. Much easier. Isaac Newton read this at one time, and Isaac Newton said, I believe there'll come a time. Remember Isaac Newton was writing many hundreds of years ago. He said, I believe there'll come a time when man will travel at 50 miles an hour. Voltaire, one of the most famous atheists in the world, told him he was doting. He was an old dote. But he read the Word of God, and he knew there was something coming in the future. And Newton understood something about the Word of God. And I'll tell you, when you see the world become so small, a global problem needs a global solution. I'll tell you, the world is being prepared for Antichrist. But before Antichrist comes, I believe Jesus Christ will come. And Christ will take his own home. That's why it's great to be saved tonight. That's why tonight, if you know Christ, you can put your head on the pillow. And you know that all is well with your soul. No matter what happens, you'll be absent from the body. And you'll be present with the Lord. First thing I thought about was globalization. Second thing I thought about was devastation. If you're still in Revelation, go over to chapter 4 just for a moment. Not just the globalization, but the devastation that this virus is havocing throughout the world. The devastation that's all over the world. And we don't know what's coming to us. And I say this tonight sympathetically and graciously. None of us know what we have to face. If Boris Johnson is right, he says, some of you will lose loved ones. And so I understand that tonight. And we don't make light of this in any way. And I'm not trying to take advantage of an awful situation. I just want to share with you what God has laid in my heart. You see the devastation. Look at Revelation 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I want you to get this phrase, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. In Revelation 4 and 5, we're in heaven. When we get to Revelation 6 through to chapter 19, we have what's called the tribulation period. And in Revelation 6 especially, there are four horses known as the horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, I want you to come back to Matthew chapter 24 just for a moment. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4. We'll be going to Revelation in a moment, but I want to make a comparison with you, and I want to show you what's going to happen upon the world. I believe when we come to Matthew 24, when we come to Revelation 6 in a few moments, we're in the tribulation period. Therefore, I believe all who are saved will be with Christ. And so if you're saved tonight, you won't be here for this. And so I don't believe this virus tonight is a fulfillment of prophecy. But I believe at the very least, the Lord is letting you see tonight, if you're not saved, how this is going to come to pass. And what we see with this virus, and I'll tell you, I don't make light of it. Over 5,000 deaths. Who knows where it's going to end? But what we see in Revelation, I'll tell you, no matter how bad this virus gets, what we have here is going to surpass it multiple times. But at least tonight you can see how it's going to work. You see in Revelation 24, verse 4, and again, this is the same period. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There are going to be many who will come, and they will claim to be Christ. Antichrist eventually will come, and he'll say, I am Christ. And so when you think of that, I want you to think of the white horse tonight, when we get to the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Think of the white horse. Because I believe it will represent Antichrist to begin with. Then look at verse number 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war, and say that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And here is the red horse, here's war. And so I want you to keep in your mind the white horse, that is the Antichrist. He says, I am Christ. And the red horse, you're going to see war and bloodshed. And then if you look at the end, or towards the end of verse number 7, and there shall be famines. I want you to think of the black horse and think of famine. We'll tie this up in a moment. You've got the white horse, you've got the red horse, you've got the black horse. And then look at the end of verse number 7, and pestilences. That's the one we want to get to at the moment. That's diseases. And pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And so that's the pale horse. And again, we'll see this in a moment. So I want you to come over to Revelation chapter 6. In Matthew 24, verse 8, the Lord says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. This is just the beginning tonight. This is the first half of the tribulation period. And this is just the beginning. It's going to get worse. Thank God we'll not be here if we're saved. Now come to Revelation chapter 6. And these are the seals being opened, the seal judgments. Look at Revelation 6 verse 2. We talked about these horses. And I saw and behold a white horse. Remember what I said? Antichrist said, I am Christ. And he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. You'll see the colour is white, the colour of peace. He's noticed he's carrying a bow, but he's got no weapons. It's like a bloodless conquest. Antichrist will come to begin with as a man of peace. Do you remember he's going to have a peace agreement with Israel, Daniel chapter 9? He's going to appear to be the saviour of the world. Boy, wouldn't the world love to have him tonight. Couldn't the world do with him tonight? They don't want the saviour, but they would take any other saviour. And I think the world's getting ready for Antichrist. You see the colour? You see the crown? It says there's given unto him a crown and he went forth a conquering and to conquer. You know, he's pretending to be a man of peace. You see the white horse. Now look at verse number 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Do you remember I said red? And power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. You see, Antichrist will come as a white horse, a man of peace. But here's the real Antichrist. He'll be a man of war. He'll take peace from the earth that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. He will remove peace from the earth. I'll tell you, life will become cheap. Don't we live in a society where life's becoming cheap? Why, they just murder babies in the womb, millions of them. Nobody bats an eyelid. Life is cheap. You see, you have the white horse, and then you have the red horse. Now, I want to move on. If you look into verse number 5, you see the black horse. Remember what we said about the black horse? Black is the colour of famine. You can find that out in Lamentations 5, verse 10. Notice what it says. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. The idea of the balances is he's weighing out the food because it's rationed. Going to be days of famine. Days of shortages. Look at verse number 6. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny. 1 penny in John's day bought 8 measures of wheat and 24 measures of barley. We're talking here about 800% inflation. Prices will go through the roof. Things are going to be scarce. It's going to be a time of famine. And again, you can imagine if you've got the world that's craving for money and craving for things, boy, isn't it ready for someone to come and to solve it. Wouldn't they just love the Antichrist to settle the problem? And if they get the mark of the beast, then they're free to buy or sell. Now, we want to get to our subject this evening. Look at verse number 7. Do you remember we mentioned the pestilences? Well, here's the pale horse. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, do you catch the percentage there? 1/4 of the world's population will be wiped out. That's why I said, I don't know how many people this virus is going to kill tonight. But there's diseases coming in the future that will wipe out 1/4 of the world's population. If we've got 7 billion tonight, you can work that out. That puts 5,774. And listen, every death is sad. And every soul that dies without Christ is terribly sad. Can you imagine 1/4 of the world's population? But is the armory this evening? Look at verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and him that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over a fourth part of the earth to kill. And here's the weapons, the sword, this hunger. We've already mentioned the sword, that's the warfare, and the hunger, and that is going to be the famine. But it's this word death. This word death means the cause of death. Pestilences. Do you remember the pale horse? Do you remember what the Lord said? There were going to be pestilences, diseases. Well, here again ties in with Revelation chapter 6. And here we have these diseases that are going to sweep throughout the world. and millions upon millions upon millions will die. And I say to you tonight, if you're not saved, if Jesus Christ come back tonight, listen, many people here will rise to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to heaven. You could be watching the news, and the BBC will have the map up, and there'll be red dots everywhere, and there'll be deaths throughout the whole world, but not hundreds or even thousands of deaths. Millions upon millions upon millions. And I think what you're seeing in this virus is a little bit. If you like, the Lord has given you a glimpse of what's coming to planet Earth. That you might hear, that you might respond, that you might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, come over to Revelation 16 for a moment. Because when the tribulation begins, there are seven seals. These seven seals then open up seven bowls. When the seventh bowl judgment is opened, these are just judgments that God's bringing upon the earth. We come to what's called the seven vial judgments. And we read about them in Revelation chapter 16. Notice what it says in verse number 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath upon the earth. And these vials will be poured out. Look at verse number 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. You can see this plague coming upon mankind. And those who have taken the mark of the beast, and remember, you can't buy, you can't sell, unless you take the mark. And this grievous sore, some of them call them malignant ulcers, cancerous sores. The word sore was used of the poor man in Luke chapter 16. These are real, these are painful. And here's just a little picture of some of the diseases that's going to run through the world during the tribulation period. And a world that lifted its fists and shook it in the face of God. God's going to step in. And the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this awful, awful world. John MacArthur, writing in Revelation, said we sometimes don't understand the power of disease to wipe out whole populations. 20 million people were wiped out after World War I with the Spanish flu. Typhoid, over four centuries, took 200 million lives. What we're seeing tonight may seem insignificant to that, but it's not insignificant. It's dangerous, it's deadly. In a way, we treat it with respect. But I'll tell you, what's coming in the future is much, much worse. But I believe God's letting you see in advance what He's going to do in a day yet to come, that you might turn and trust the Lord. But I want you to look at Revelation 16, verse 11, just for a moment. You see, these judgments, these vials are going to be poured out and poured out. Look at the response of mankind in verse number 11, Revelation 16. You would think, when people are in the midst of the wrath of God, when these viruses and diseases are all over the world and men are suffering and thousands upon thousands upon thousands are dying, you would think that people would be crying out, Lord, save me! Look at Revelation 16, verse 11. Here's the response. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Listen, lost soul, tonight. God has given you a glimpse of hell upon earth. What's going to happen? And you could take the same attitude as many will in a day yet to come. And rather than repent and trust the Lord and cry out for mercy, they'll continue to shake their fist in the face of God and go to hell. And I think God's been merciful to you. And God's showing you something in advance of what's going to happen in a day yet to come. What will your response be tonight globalization tonight, the world's a small place. Devastation tonight. It's bad. It's awful. And you think about what's coming to planet Earth. The last word I wanted to say was preparation. You know, as we look at the news bulletins, in some things we think the world has gone mad. One man in Tennessee bought 17,000 hand sanitizers. Apparently he wanted to sell them. Amazon caught on and blocked them. And now he's sitting with sheds full of these things and no one will buy them of him. People are going mad. Trying to buy things up and really, I can understand why people want to be prepared. This virus is, we're told, is coming. It's already here. We're told it's coming with greater power and greater authority. And people want to be ready for it. And I understand that. We all want to be ready. We have to make preparation. Whatever the government and the health people advise us to do, we have to do it. Wash your hands. Avoid big crowds. Avoid as much contact as we can. We must follow the things. We want to be prepared. But listen, Jesus Christ is coming back. I wonder, are you prepared for that tonight? James tells us that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You know, we've seen some panic buying, haven't we? You know, it's interesting. Marcella said to me, I get the last bottle of sauce. Good girl, HP sauce. I couldn't live without it. Well, I was in Portadown the other day and I said, if I see a bottle of sauce, I'm going to buy it. But you know, there was hundreds of bottles of sauce and I didn't buy one. That's our mentality, isn't it? If you thought there was none, you'd buy a lot of it. You think there's plenty of it, well, you're in no hurry. Panic buying. You know, there's panic buying in Scripture. Do you remember the parable of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins? I know we could dig into the parable, but let's see it as a picture of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember five were wise and they were ready? They had oil in their lamp. We could talk about the oil being the Spirit of God. They were sealed. The Spirit of God was within them and they were ready. That when the bridegroom would come, they would rise to meet the Lord in the air and they'd be in heaven. But then there were five foolish. And you know, they had waited and waited and they decided at the last minute to go and do some panic buying. And by the time they got back, it was too late. The bridegroom had come. The five wise virgins had gone and the door was shut. And they said, Lord, Lord, open to us, but too late. They lingered. And they lingered. And they were lost. No panic buying when it comes to salvation. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let me say this tonight. This is an awful virus, and I was reading about how they're trying to get a virus for it. And one of the papers the other day said that the blood of some of those who've been infected, they'll take the blood and they take something from the blood. I don't understand the science or the biology. And they're trying to make a remedy from the blood. So the blood of those who were infected could lead to the cure for the rest of the world. I don't know whether that's going to work tonight, but let me tell you about the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Because John tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let me say this, that sin is the most deadly virus this world has ever known. Because sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And the wages of sin is death. Death means separation from Christ, from God the Father, in hell for all eternity. But the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, can cleanse you from all sin tonight. Yes, there's globalization. Listen, the world's getting a smaller place. Jesus Christ is coming soon. There's devastation. But we're seeing something of what's going to happen in this tribulation period. At least it's casting its shadows before us, and God's been gracious and God's been merciful. Look out. God's speaking. But what about preparation? You can understand globalization. You can say yes to the devastation. But listen, what about the preparation? Are you ready tonight? Are you prepared tonight? If Jesus was to come or if death was to come, Would you be with Christ, or will you be without Christ? Let's close in a moment's prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we recognize tonight that this is an awful virus. Lord, it's causing people hardship. Lord, it's causing employment difficulties. It's causing educational difficulties. Lord, not to mention the physical problems. And Lord, this is something we don't want. Lord, I would pray that you would indeed put your hand upon the people of God. Lord, as we said this morning, you put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. Lord, would you cover the people of God with the precious blood in a special way? Lord, we thank you for our dear old folk that are so faithful. Lord, will you put your arms around about them? Lord, will you keep them safe? Will you look after them? Will you protect them, Lord? Lord, for others too, Lord, just bless them. But yet, Lord, the real concern would be tonight that someone without Christ could slip into a Christless hell. Someone without Christ could be that way and Jesus Christ would come back. Lord, will you speak tonight? Lord, our heart's desire in prayer to God is that someone would be saved. And thank God they can be saved here in Rafaelim Baptist Church tonight. Lord, give the saving grace. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a